love to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings, this is the automatically deleted husband. I did a very long video Friday. I'm going to be a whole lot shorter today because one, and also I'm tired. One of the things that happened, I heard from Chris today. He talked with somebody. I forget who it was, but you may remember Steve and Susan Ward. Steve apparently is just a bit older than I am. And he apparently is having some heart problems, there are concerns, I just thought I would pass it on because Chris has spoken very much how he has been a significant influence in his life, and obviously my family should remember the Wards. Just on that video from Friday, there was a DVD sent to George Saturday, and also to Jim Cross, and to Render Keynes, and to Chris Bitterman, because they're all mentioned in there. And I did put the comment on the back of the envelopes, which the images are on the voicemail. How, it's going to be scary because I use the scripture, and that would be hard to take for someone who is Christian in name only. And that really is a concern. I mean, that is an intense concern, not because I'm trying to say it mockingly, because that's what the Bible says. That's the wide gate versus the narrow gate, because that's not the world and the Christian community. That's the Christian in name only. Versus the elect. And it really, that's an intensely scary passage. It's so obvious. You see people who are in the club. But, I use the example, because I even mentioned it. I mentioned the Kaiser Kurios video, where people would pay with their lives. Again, part of the objective behind Shofar Book is, in a sense, I have a particular person in mind. Who that person is, I have no idea. Whether or not they're not even born yet, could be. But someone who says, no, I'm going to go to the Hajj. I'm a follower of Muhammad and so forth. And then finds out, oh no, it's not Muhammad and the Prophet Jesus, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they make that claim, it could cost them their lives, because it happens a lot. The weekly beheadings in Saudi Arabia, well, they're weekly. it's a problem. But I've been thinking a lot about that video because it hits me hard, intensely hard. But I made a mistake in that video. I made a couple. I found where I said something like, I said something about the institutional church in the Old Testament. Obviously, that was because I talked about ecclesia in the Old Testament. And that's not saying the institutional church was in the Old Testament. It was the assembly was in the Old Testament. So, there are little trivia things like that. But the thing that got me, because again, I didn't, it was simply because it was from memory and I had one letter wrong. I talked about the family, the Good Samaritan, in the collateral murder video, and I called them Tumen. It's Tumal. So it's an L at the end instead of an N. I erred, but I also wanted to make sure I had the full names, and I'm going to stumble on the words. The gentleman, the Good Samaritan, who was killed by the U.S. helicopter gun crew that was trained at Fort Rucker before we were there, because obviously we were there at the time this happened. Salel Matashur Tamal. I probably butchered that terribly. One of the things I've noticed is Matashur. Asher. And I wonder if there's a relationship there. I know an Asher. Oh, wait a minute. I haven't seen him in about a decade. Anyway. He was 43 years old, had a wife and four kids. And obviously two of the kids were the ones that were seen in Collateral Murder. His wife, Anilim Abid Altasir. You know, a lot of cultures, I think this is true in a lot of places in Asia. You know, men and women get married, but the woman doesn't change the name like we do in the West. So I think that's it. But then I don't understand, I'm not sure about the kids, because the guy who shot up, Sajjad Mutasher, and I assume his last name is Tamal, and the girl, Dua Salah, and I assume, again, Tamal. So, I mean, the names, and of course, understanding the culture and so forth, I don't have. But, you know, one of the things that's really become a concern for me, because, again, you know, it's fascinating. On my YouTube videos, I think it's probably my first or second most popular video, because one is the Theonostas video, because if you search, pronounce Theonostas, I'm the number two selection, and so I continue to get hits, which is kind of like, and because with YouTube you can see the chart and you can see people spend their time and actually go back and where I say Theonostas, they'll go back and listen to it more than once. It's kind of like, they'll listen to the rest of it, but you know, it's anyway. But the other one, is Amran Dakhnish and Abdullah Issa. And when I checked, for some reason I haven't been able to find of late, but when I checked some years ago, the bulk of it was coming from places like Turkey, Syria, and that area. You know, probably because, you know, that name is obviously more appropriate for that area. Because, you know, the Abdullah Issa was the young gentleman who was beheaded by people affiliated with the White Helmets, and Amran Dakhnish was the one who was made the news sensation, photographed by the same guy that was photographing Abdullah Issa's beheading. So it was all PR. One's dead, one's fine and join his family in Syria, you know. Anyway, but the point behind that is I didn't want to remember the young guy, but Abdullah Issa and Amran Dakhnish. And that's why I said Tumen's Tamal, the Tamal family. You know, because obviously I know Ethan McCord. That's an easy name to, you know, for an American, it's an easy name to remember. But Saleh Mutasher Tamal. It's not as easy for me, but the Tamal family, and there was one particular photo, you know, because I do have a video of her, the gentleman, you know, again. I talk a lot about whistleblowers for a reason, but you know, obviously the most noted, not whistleblower but affiliated with whistleblowers is Julian Assange, who is right now being tortured on behest of the U.S. government. You know, the U.S. government's really, really big on torture. We love it, don't we? Anyway, and. So, you know, obviously he was a spokesman and the head of WikiLeaks, but because he's kind of indisposed right now, there's another gentleman who's filling that role. He's from Iceland, and I'm not going to try to pronounce his name. But shortly after I think it was a couple of years after the incident, because they call it incident in Baghdad, incident in New Baghdad. There was a video done by that name. Shortly after that, well, like I said, a couple of years after that occurred, he went to Baghdad to visit these people. And at that time, he went there knowing he had the video, collateral murder, but he didn't expose it. And he went there and said, we're trying to find it. There was Freedom Information Act stuff that was done and so forth. He actually went to visit people, and he did visit. He interviewed the Tamal family, the remaining members. And so this is where a lot of the names, you know, this is where I can get the names. He's now the spokesman for, and I think actually basically effectively heads it since Assange is again, indisposed. It's kind of tough to run an organization when you spend 23 hours a day in isolation. Who would do that? Oh, that's right. U.S. government. Or the British government on behest of the U.S. government. By the way, okay, well, he's now basically effectively the head of the organization of WikiLeaks right now, and obviously they've continued to do a lot of things that makes people uncomfortable. But he interviewed them, again, didn't say anything, and then I think it was like a month after he came back from Iraq, they dumped WikiLeaks under the world, or collateral murder under the world, and suddenly they took the world stage. And obviously have been there ever since. It's interesting because, yeah, I've read some of the things he talked about, how on earth could somebody do this? The important thing that I think has to sink in, because Bradley Manning has problems, now called Chelsea Manning. He's got problems. But what he did by exposing WikiLeaks was not a problem. The helicopter crews, no reprimands, nothing. Bradley Manning, for exposing that, was sentenced to 35 years in prison. It was commuted after several years. And then, of course, obviously, again, the example I continue to use, Daniel Hale. Because unlike Bradley Manning, who is out of prison now, or John Kiriakou, who did serve, I think, 2.5 years in prison. You know, it's one of those negotiated pleas, because they wanted to send him in for a whole lot more, for showing that the U.S. tortures by policy. So people who torture, not a problem. People pointed out are in prison or persecuted. And then again, the Daniel Hale pointed out the fact that we kill people, civilians and children, more often than not, than targets, than military targets. And now he's in prison today. And, you know, one of the things that was said is that in some cases, for some periods or in some areas, it was over 90% were civilians or children. And some places it was less. But either way, on average, it was the majority was civilians or children. And the irony is, after he was put in prison, we did that last drone strike, at last admitted drone strike, claimed to kill 2 ISIS Corazon members, ended up killing 10 people, all of them civilians, 7 of them kids. So it wasn't 50%, 90%, it was 100%. 100% civilians, including one who was an employee of a U.S., he was a U.S. aid worker. Again, no one involved in that was reprimanded. but the guy who exposed that is in prison. And, you know, the reason this hits heart so hard, the reason I made all those DVDs and sent it out, one, obviously to reach George, but two, I need to get this out. Some whistleblowers, like Manning, like Daniel Hale, and so forth. I've mentioned people like Brandon Bryant, and there are others. Or John Kiriakou, and stuff of that nature. You will be abandoned. You'll be imprisoned, tortured, and in some cases executed. The number of people, you know, it's the Michael Hastings example, the reporter who had the reputation of driving like a grandmother, then took his car, ran at high speeds in a crowded area, and ran into a tree, and his car blew up and killed him, because he had said like an hour or two before to a friend that he is on the biggest story he ever had in reference to misdeeds by the U.S. government. And you think about that, you think about the number of people who have exposed what the U.S. government does and paid with their lives. It's not uncommon. But those are the ones that make the news. Well, make some of the news. But what I'm finding is that's kind of the sensational. There's so many people. And we're not talking dozens. We're talking about thousands upon thousands and who say, no, we got a problem here. And it could be a problem where we're wasting a few dollars. Or potentially causing harm that we shouldn't be. And they have to be shut up or removed. And for most, it's as far as it goes. Some will shut up. Some will be too afraid to do anything. They'll just submit. Some will say something and it'll cost them. And some are, you know, are the repeat offender. And it's a problem. So what do I do about this? Because what happens when you do this is you get abandoned. And the thing that really is most important is the one that abandons you, when it's family or institutional church. And of course, in my case, it's both. The institutional church, I mean, this would be consistent with the fact they're a fraud, but they're proclaim obedience to Christ. The follower of Christ doesn't abandon. Again, that's why Mr. Tamal was killed by the U.S. helicopter gun crew that was trained at Fort Rucker, where we were. Because he was literally, not loosely, identically, exactly as the scripture talks about the Good Samaritan. That's exactly what he did. You know, go even one step further. He had his kids with him. And, you know, I point to the Deuteronomy 6, when you're supposed to show to your kids when you walk around the path. He was taking his kids to school. And one of the things he had was an opportunity to show them this is what an act of kindness would be. He trained his kids. One of the things that really hurts is the interview that was done by the gentleman from WikiLeaks sometimes later. There was his wife. Mrs. Tamal. And, you know, this was like a couple years afterwards. And she still cried about her husband. And I remember, I think it was when I mentioned the heart attack that I had, again, mild heart attack. And I don't remember if it was an email or written. I really don't want to check. Or my wife said something about, she would have seen that as God's mercy to me if that would have ended my life. So this lady, Mrs. Tamal, misses her husband, who was killed by the U.S. government. My wife apparently is content if I were to die. In spite of that, happy birthday, George. I gave you a really long invitation to come see me Friday. George, come see me. It's going to be hard for you and me, but let's do it. Come see me. Secondly, the obvious. My wife, there seems to be absolutely no love for me in her. But I'm a follower of Christ. Christ said unambiguously, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the assembly, the ecclesia. One of the ways he showed how he loved his assembly, his elect, he stated repeatedly, I will never leave you or forsake you. Dorothy Jane, in spite of you, I will never leave you or forsake you. My lady, I love you, and I want you back.